The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another
fun-filled episode.
Yes, another another joyride with We the People. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Bob provides all our music. Bill and I are just the foils. We're the official foils. So let's see, you can find everything about us.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. Are you not going to be the foil?
No, I'll be the foil. Don't go too hard on me.
I wanted you to be the pinata. Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I'm the piñata and you're the stick.
Pretty much. That's where we were going.
Okay.
You can find everything that you need to know about the program, sponsorship, archives, all sorts of good stuff. Contact information for us. It's all at wethepeopleradio.us. And all sorts of stuff about our guest and her website and all those things. So you don't have to, you know, crash if you're driving your car and listening or take time out of your chores if you're listening and get a pen. So it's all right there for you.
Shout out to Philadelphia.
Yes, and for the nice folks in Philadelphia, I think you'll learn lots of things about life in the rural West.
That's right.
See, we're counting on you guys. You know, a lot of people think that they think it's kind of a waste of time that we do so many programs about land use for the folks in the East, but it's really important. You just don't have the endangered species problem in the East. You don't have the Army Corps of Engineers problems, and I hear that the fish and game type folks, the game police back there, will actually help you, you know, if you shoot a deer or something.
Wow,
they'll help you load them.
That's a novel concept. I wonder if they could get some of those folks to, you know, transfer out to the West Coast.
Out here they're hiding in the bushes waiting to crack us over the head, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a really different environment, but you guys vote out there and your representatives vote. So we need you to sometimes send this information to your representatives and so they can stick up for us a little bit. We could use the help.
Absolutely.
All right. So our guest today is Ronnie Bell Sylvester, and she is with Land and Water USA. Their website is it's all spelled out, landandwaterusa.com. Pretty simple. And let's see, Ronnie Bell is the founder and volunteer editor of Land and Water USA and a former 2014 Republican gubernatorial candidate for the state of Colorado. She lives in LaSalle, Colorado. And for some reason it says on our site that's mountain time, so I get it. Yes, in case anybody's curious. Not sure why that's included. Northeast of Denver. She and Chuck, her husband Chuck, live on Chuck's grandfather's farm on the South Platte River that was flooded out last fall during the Denver flood. They also have a ranch in Wyoming. All right, so that's all the particulars. So, Ronnie, where do you want to go?
Well, you talked about land use, and I think that that's the whole everything since our foundation of America was built on that opportunity to acquire and enjoy property, and of course property is land and water, and that's what's being kind of swept out from underneath us.
Yeah, well, and if the government isn't, you know, I think sometimes people don't understand. I explain this a lot to folks that live in the city, that when you don't have water or control of your water, you really don't own land. And
well, this is true. The only thing that's becoming the only thing recently that they're starting to pay attention to, though, Aaron, is carriage a method in which you can carry water from point A to point Z, and so that part of the land is becoming important because they do need a carriage vessel, and so it's getting to be kind of a double whammy coming at people who do have land and or water and or both, in that they try to either get your water away from you or they try to get your land away from you so that they can carry the water.
Well, that's helpful.
Yes. It's a continual challenge. You have a multiple vessels. Missiles that are deployed at you from every direction, between endangered species to the EPA to the Army Corps to just man's man-made manipulations of in-stream flows, and it just goes on and on. So you feel like if you're a property owner today, you feel as though you're just deluged under all of these attacks.
Man, we've been hearing a lot lately about the control of water, the control of groundwater, and you're right. If you own property and you have no access to water, or you're restricted to the use of the water that's even on your property, your land's almost worthless unless you can get water to it, because pretty much any development you do on that land is going to require water.
That's right. And one of the sort of interesting little things that we've seen formulaic?
There is today. Yeah,
there is today. Today we're having.
It's patternistic. Let's say throughout, in particular, the states of the West or west of the 100th meridian that are under the Spanish law, the prior appropriation, as opposed to states east of the 100th meridian that are under the English or the riparian law. And I call it riparian creek because they're trying to impose that riparian law on states of the West so that they can get more control of it. But water in the West is critical. We're under a semi-arid desert and desert conditions where we have a lower precip, obviously, than the eastern part of the United States, and so that's kind of how the prior appropriation came into place, so to speak.
So what is it? Define both of those for people, because, you know, we have so many people who listen who live in a town, and in a town your water comes out of the tap, out of the hose, it comes from your city, and even sometimes in our rural towns it's very similar to a municipal water. We don't have so many folks who live on, you know, ranches, farms, and who deal with, say, wells and whatnot. So maybe give them some background on that a little bit.
Well, I'm not as familiar with riparian, of course, as I am prior appropriation. But riparian, as I understand it, Aaron, is when the water, you can use whatever water flows through your property. You can't hoard it. You can't store it and hoard it and deprive the downstream people. But under prior appropriation, it's first in time, first in right. And that goes with the flow. So it's really easy to understand in that you have Colorado is a watershed state, for example. So, Just picture the watershed anywhere, let's say the Grand Lake area of Colorado. The people who put that water as it flows into beneficial use has the prior appropriation or the earliest date. And then as it flows downstream, there are later dates. And that's why it's easy to remember that you have to first have water to put to beneficial use.
So meaning you're irrigating crops, watering livestock, that kind of thing?
Well, it's yes. For example, if you put water to beneficial use at the mouth of a cow, that's a prior appropriation. And you can record that date and it's adjudicated, or, you know, they have a lot of different terms for the same meaning, basically. But to me, it's easy to understand. Water attorneys really don't want you to understand how simple it is. They want you to think it's extremely complicated. And in Colorado, and I think most of the states of the West, in their constitutions, simply say water. They do not differentiate between ground and surface. They say simply water. When water is put to beneficial use, because our forefathers were smart enough to know that all water is connected. And so, as the water comes down and flows out. You have the oldest date, for example, in Colorado is 1853 in the San Luis Valley.
So that's the earliest water right you could have.
Yes, But on the South Platte River, I think maybe some of the earliest dates might be 1859, maybe. Ours that we are on is at 1870, and those are territory of Colorado.
Okay.
And so under statute, that stays. That can never be extinguished. They can't take that right away from you. Once you have made that first date of recording of putting your water to beneficial use, that is the only date that stays. What happened here in Colorado is in about 1969 or so, they started recording wells. And then they would say, well, you know, you might have a 1870 date of adjudication, but you propped a well in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
So you are junior. And then they separated the groundwater in definition. They separated the groundwater from the surface water and then reversed the junior and senior rights. So one of the things that is just so definitely wrong is the reporting of water in Colorado. When you read newspaper articles and so forth, they'll say, for example, that the eastern part of the South Platte River is senior, and the western part of the South Platte River, which is close to the headwaters, is junior. No. That's completely incorrect.
Now who's saying that? Who's trying to set that up?
Well, let me just kind of give you a brief overview.
All right.
And this is happening in California, Montana, Nevada. I mean, we're not alone. It is patternistic. Some very, very, very brilliant people, maybe a combination of hydrologists and attorneys and thieves, gypsies, tramps, and thieves. I don't know.
Oh, there's a good song for us. Before we get into this, let's take a really quick break so that we don't have all of them at the same time. This is going to be one of those shows where, like, all the time sort of dominoes to the end, and then it's 2 minutes in between every break.
Oh, okay.
We'll take a really quick break. Come back with Ronnie Bell Sylvester. We're talking about landandwaterusa.com. There's a lot of information on there, and talking about water rights at the moment. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Good old Cher.
Good old Cher. That's a song.
Oh, little did she know.
That's a song crying to be played. That's funny. Okay, now if we didn't make you lose it, continue on.
I just want to simplify this, really,
sure.
Bill and Aaron, because for me it is really, really simple, and what I try to do is come up. What we try to do is come up with solutions as opposed to just harping. So, and please don't play any harp music.
You've noticed, Bob's very suggestible.
Yeah. Okay, it's really very simple. Very brilliant people figured out how to manipulate in-stream flows. So, in Colorado, for example, on the South Platte River, they figured out how to overhydrate the whole entire upper end of the South Platte Basin so that they could, excuse me, maintain a perennial stream flow past Kersey, Colorado, where it would normally or historically dry up because it's based on precip and snowpack. And so naturally, you know, it will dry up at a certain point. But in 2000 and, well, kind of a lap over 2005, 2006, they apparently convinced a judge that the lower end, now we're talking about everybody east of Kersey, Colorado to the Nebraska border, convinced the judge that the upper end was overpumping and causing depletions or depriving them of their water, which was untrue. And they did not have to shoulder any burden of harm, proof of harm, or anything. They just said, gee, the guys on the upper end are bullies, and they're taking our water, and we're not getting any of our water. So the judge shut down all the wells on the upper end. Well, this created a wonderful underground reservoir for the lower end and raised the water table from its historic approximate 20 foot up to 2 feet in surfacing.
Oh, wow.
And yes, and has now maintained this wonderful, delightful perennial in-stream flow that goes to the Nebraska border, but I haven't seen any proof that it actually, we lose over 1 million acre feet water annually to Nebraska, but I don't know, I have not seen that water actually flow into Nebraska. I think it's being captured at the border, diverted, retimed, and sold, like to Denver, Aurora, Castle Rock, Parker, that type of thing.
So are they pumping the water out of these aquifers and shipping it by canal, or what are they doing?
Well, no, but now you ask an interesting question, Bill, because when I was doing research on this about 4 years ago, I made a comment to my husband. Let me back up. They built a reservoir just really, really just like south of Denver, but it's like almost Denver. I mean, it's a fairly good-sized reservoir. It's called the Ruder Hess Reservoir. And it's a brand-new pup, and they built it quickly. And how they managed to get by all the environmental impact studies and everything so quickly is still a mystery to a lot of us.
Yeah, nothing happens quickly.
And they built it on a hill. My husband toured it, and they said they were going to fill it with runoff. And so every time we would pass it, he would look at that and say, I don't know how they're going to fill that with runoff when it's built on a hill. And finally, in my research, I made a kind of a smart alecky comment to him. I said, oh, they'll probably just figure out a way to take it off the plat and pipe it down there. And he's like, oh, that's ridiculous. How could they ever do that? I said, I don't know. But I just, my gut sense is that they could do that or would do that. Well, I was going through some minutes of meetings, and sure enough, there it was. There were two presentations to the city of Parker from two different entities saying, and so what we'll do is we'll just take it off of the Platte River and we'll pipe it down E-470.
Oh, boy.
And so this is happening again. I can't stress that enough.
So they're putting pipelines in.
This is not unique under Colorado.
So they're putting pipelines in and diverting it through pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what they want to do here with the tunnels.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it is flat-out theft of water.
Now, is this all still under state control, or is any of this, I don't know, maybe we can talk about both, because I know there's federal water laws and state water laws. Do you run into that in Colorado?
Well, some have claimed that federal owns the water. Federal does not own the water. Federal has to acquire the water, purchase the water just like anybody else, period. They do not own the water, therefore they do not control the water. Excuse me. And states, in fact, do control their own water. And in particular, on streams that are not considered as navigable under the Interstate Commerce Clause.
Yeah, but anymore.
Anymore, if it's got a rock and three rocks in a row, they're calling it a navigable stream.
Yeah, four drops of water together.
And that's completely inaccurate. And it's a something that's being perpetrated by, I think, the EPA and the Army Corps under the WOTUS, the Waters of the U.S. There is no such thing as Waters of the U.S. It's interesting how they will just turn a word, turn a phrase to market this sort of a propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
So they can just take our water.
Well, they just got jammed on the Waters of the U.S., what, 2 days ago?
I'm sorry?
They just got jammed up on the Waters of the U.S. a couple of days ago.
Well, maybe it's been a week now, approximately. But just today, I just came up with a little simple kind of a thing because I really kind of get challenged by people who really, really, truly don't understand it, and they're not being smart alecks about it. They really don't understand it because on the surface it does seem complicated. And so I wrote this little short thing, I did a thing called Examples of Incorrect Terminology and Misperceptions, because there's a lot of them. And I started out with prairie dogs, correct terminology, prairie rodents. Well, it's true.
We've done a show on prairie dogs. The people who have to deal with the prairie dogs hate them.
Yes, exactly. Referring to prairie rodents as dogs perpetuates the myth of fluffy little playthings.
That's true.
They are so cute.
As opposed to the disease-carrying, property-destroying rats that they are. And then I went to wild horses. Incorrect. Correct terminology, feral horses. And then immigrants versus illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And how removing the word illegal removes the solution. It's like saying that cow as opposed to that rank cow.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, I worked down to, public land. That's incorrect. The correct terminology is federal land. Referring to federal land as public removes statutes, case law, U.S. and state constitutions, split estates and private property on federal land.
Okay.
Perpetuation of this inaccuracy misleads the public and government into thinking theft of private property on federal land is A-okay.
Right.
Then we go to navigable versus navigable. In statute, navigable pertains to interstate commerce. In science, navigable pertains to flow. EPA and Army Corps despise the interstate commerce definition of navigable because it is the governing statute that reigns in their authority on waterways.
Yeah, because otherwise they consider anything that has, you know, that can be considered water is under their purview.
That's right. Yep. That's exactly right, because they want to control every drop of water in the U.S. They continually reference navigable as flow as a means to quash navigable as statute.
Yep. And if they can, what we're seeing now, and you're probably seeing it where you are, is a big move to control the groundwater. And so no longer can, you know, if you have a well or any of those things, you know, they want their mitts on all of that.
Well, and you know Jay Lear, correct?
I know the name.
Well, he's a fairly world-renowned hydrologist. And I think he's with the Heartland Institute.
That's why his name's familiar. You okay. know, I've written to him a million times and said, hey, will you come on our show?
Oh, he is a fantastic
individual. So if you have any pull, I don't apparently, so maybe you
Well,
could.
He truly is a fantastic individual, Aaron. And I point blank asked him in person last summer. Yeah, it was last summer. I asked him if ground and surface water were inseparable. And he kind of looked at me for a second and he said, well, all water is connected. I asked, does the water molecule ever completely vanish? And he said, no. So ground and surface water are, in fact, inseparable. And when water evaporates and it goes up and it doesn't completely vanish and the molecule comes down in a different form, and it just continues to do that. And for them to get you in the minutiae or drag you down into the weeds of this ground and surface and topography and this canal and that irrigation point and that acre feet and that just all of that is how they keep people so confused that they end up stuttering.
Sure. Well, people who don't have any experience there, they're really hesitant.
Well,
and
you don't get any experience until you have a problem, and at
sure.
that point you're a little behind the eight ball.
But you look at people that are selling, you know, rural pieces of land, and if you haven't done that before, it all looks really
complicated.
It looks like a minefield.
Yeah.
We need to take a really quick break. We'll come right back. We're speaking with Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA, and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
I'm on Cripple Creek. She sends me if I spring a leak. She mends me. I don't have to speak. As she defends me. A drunkard scream if I ever did see war.
That's the only words I know.
Don't quit your day job.
Are you guys playing with pogo sticks?
Well, for our listening audience, I put the Waters of the United States, the article that came out of Politico. I'm sure there were a bunch of others. Just happened to be the one I had. Came out Monday.
I can't wait to look at that.
Yeah, it's the Federal Appeals Court rejected President Barack Obama's effort to move forward with a series of executive actions he announced last year seeking to give quasi-legal status and work permits to millions of legal immigrants. There's that. And then they hammered him on the waters of the U.S. right after it. So got two biggies there.
Mm-hmm.
I listed them both for you.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
Oh, yeah. he doesn't fare well in court.
No, he doesn't.
Does not do well in court. Stuff goes sideways for him.
Well, when you make
court.
Stuff up as you go along, a lot of times it gets kind of slapped down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, because we do have that little detail called the U.S. Constitution.
It is so pesky. I know.
What a nuisance!
It's annoying. He wants to slap it. Wants to swish it away.
Exactly.
On this navigable. And the waters of the USA.
Yes.
I think that you would find this true story interesting. And I hope that Dinesh D'Souza listens to your program. If he doesn't, I'm going to send this to to him, because I want him to do a documentary called Water Runners, a documentary about America's water running cartel.
Well, he's going to have to stay out of jail and get that done.
Oh, way to pick
the
scab.
He'll probably go back in if he tries this.
Okay, don't have him listen to that part.
Yeah,
it's not
tell,
a selling
tell.
Feature. Bill, you're
I
fired.
I was kidding.
He's fired.
And I did ask him, and he said, I don't know anything about water. And I said, it's really simple. I'll be happy to tutor you. I'd be honored to tutor you. Because this is huge. It's really the biggest. It's the biggest thing going on in the U.S.
Yes,
today.
It is.
Oh, it's huge. That's where I think you're going to see the next big battles is over water again, like we had in the old West. I mean, water's a big deal.
Bill, about 10 years ago, I listened to a person speak at a stock growers meeting. And this was a lady who happened to be a three-time commander in Afghanistan, say out loud, the next fights that we have, I'm afraid there's going to be bloodshed over water on American soil. And I thought she was an alarmist. I thought she was a freak. I thought, what the hell is she talking about?
And now you're like, oh, my God,
yeah.
She's a
no,
prophet.
It's true. And I think because California has been, you know, saddled with this drought over the last, 5 years, a lot of this stuff is really kind of coming to light. And, you know, I bet if we started getting normal rainfall and all the lakes filled up and the rivers were full and, you know, the birds were singing, we wouldn't hear anything about this. But now that water's getting tight, we're starting to hear a lot about these water battles.
Well, and they've done a lot of stream diversion there, too. So a lot of that is a combination of man-made drying up and nature-made drought. So you have a really interesting combo of things there, all the way from Washington State through Oregon down through California.
Well, look what's happening in Las Vegas and the Colorado River. I mean, they're screaming up there. That lake is going to go dry, and when it does, Las Vegas is going to go away.
Well, that'd be a rude awakening.
I doubt whether Harry Reid would ever allow that to happen.
Well, unless he can make it rain. I mean, if you look at the water level in that lake, it's been going down now for how many years, and it's at record lows right now. We seriously need some rain in the West.
Well, and that is true. That is true. But he's one of the big players in this water game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So it's just all very interesting. But what actually happened that kind of brought my attention to this bigger picture, April 17th, 2014, Governor Hickenlooper came to our farm. We wanted to show him the debris and the sediment underneath one of the main bridges between Denver and Cheyenne, Wyoming, and ask him to have CDOT or someone remove that debris. And he had sort of a, I don't know. I said, Governor, you need to have the Army Corps, CDOT, or Union Pacific, or someone needs to get that debris out from underneath that bridge, because as you know, as you've seen now firsthand, it creates a lake and backs up and has flooded out all of these property owners on the west side of it, and it goes around that then and floods everybody out on the east side.
And when you do get normal rainfall, that's going to be a real problem.
It was already. It happened.
Sure.
And so his reaction was sort of unusual. He was like, I don't know. I'll try. I thought, that's kind of an odd response from a governor. So after pondering on that for a bit, I called a friend in northern Nebraska, and I said, Tell me again that story about the flood on the Missouri in 2011. He said, I was out playing golf, and I heard a noise coming off the Missouri that I'd never heard before. So when I went to investigate, I found the Army Corps building sandbars for the piping plover.
For what?
Sandbars for the piping plover on the Missouri River.
Oh.
So I thought about that and thought about that. I thought, wait a minute. Okay, the Army Corps won't do anything with the South Platte River. The South Platte River has never been maintained by any government agency. And then it just hit me. Of course, it's because the South Platte River is not considered as navigable, and it's not under their jurisdiction, period. The
right.
First river east that is the Missouri that borders along Nebraska's eastern border. And that's when it really, then I started really digging into this, into the statutes and so forth, just because of this debris underneath our bridge. And I called another person who is a part of that, I don't know how many people. At last I checked, there was over 200 entities that had sued the Army Corps because of the flood on the Missouri. The checks and the gates and the sandbars and everything. And asked him to reiterate that suit. Well, they're making some actual progress on that suit because statutes were ignored. The only purpose of the Army Corps is to build, there to build bridges and dams and that type of infrastructure, and on navigable waters for the purpose of commerce.
Well, in our little town, they also get involved in what kinds of trees you can plant along the creeks and so forth, because we had some folks that Army Corps engineers yanked their trees out because they weren't...
In their own backyard.
Yeah, in their own backyard.
No,
they were too
close.
No,
see, that's a total violation of statute.
Sure.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Bill, because... In simple, Aaron, you mentioned that you like the no trespassing sign. That's where it all begins. We should not let these people on our property in the first place.
Nope.
Good point.
Nope. Not unless they got a warrant in their hands or something.
That's right, Bill.
They don't have the right just to come on your property. And we were told that if it is part of a... an investigation that a crime has been committed on your property, then they can come on your property. But that's kind of broad.
To my knowledge, Bill, they have to actually see the bomb thrower or whatever cross your property or come onto your property. They have to be in pursuit, or they have to have a warrant, or they have to have has to be a fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think in this case there was private property that bordered up against a navigable waterway, and somebody on that waterway saw what they perceived as a violation of the law on this private property, and so here came Fishing Game and NOAA and banging on the door wanting to go out and inspect their property. No warrants, no nothing, just on somebody's hearsay, basically.
And that was a twofold violation. Number one, there are no navigable waters in Redding, California.
Mm.
There are no, no.
Really?
Not,
even the Sacramento River?
Even the Sacramento River?
Does it carry commerce across the state board?
No.
Does it carry a 13-ton barge?
No.
No.
Are your bridges and your infrastructure built so that they'll clear a mass or...
No.
Deep enough, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, and that's what defines navigable?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, they need to be educated then, because they're making every little creek, every little.
They've got their nose in everything, but you know, we're seeing NOAA finding people, and they're 160 miles from the ocean. So I guess
so
that
NOAA
National
is now
Oceanic.
Taking over as another regulatory agency on private property.
Yep.
That's really amazing.
Well, you know what
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You know what they're doing, though? This is really slick. Now, when you have a deal like the federal government that prints their own money, So you've got an outfit that prints their own money. So what better way to do it than to take your agency, your limited budget state agency, and then let's get the federal guys involved somehow because they got nothing but money to throw at this thing and to fight these people and scare them.
Well, Aaron, you bring up an excellent point because one of the reasons why they're not only taking private property on federal land, they're starting to really get aggressive about taking deeded property. And the reason is because they want to use that to collateralize loans from the Federal Reserve, a private company.
Right.
It's really ingenious.
And they want to use the tribes to do it. There's that
whole
thing. That is a whole deal of its. We got to go there. We need to go into the tribe thing. But I do want to tell you about this NOAA case because
yeah.
I think people would be surprised at the kind of stuff these folks are doing. We need to take one more quick break here before the top of the hour and see what Bob's got in store for us.
I want to get into this whole trespassing thing because it's a big problem.
Oh, and just so people know, at wethepeopleradio.us, I've got a link on there for these terrific private property signs that we will talk about in 5 seconds.
In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep. From the mountains of fame to the river so deep, I must be looking for something. Something sacred I know. But the river is wide, and it's too hard to cross.
How high's the water, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left to float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising.
That is good.
So then if he went over a state line, then it'd be navigable, right?
Carrying at least 13-ton barge for the purpose of commerce.
Oh, okay, so forget it. It still doesn't qualify.
Oh, I did not know that. Because
we've just been so bamboozled on this thing.
Yeah, we have been, because we've got it right from, you know, the fish and game and the rest of these guys that pretty much anything that is flowing is navigable.
Oh, and I'm so rude. I had to sit in some meeting with those dopes from Army Corps, and the guy's like, if it's water, we're... Because it was a guy who was growing wheat, dry land wheat. Mm-hmm. And the Army Corps was all over him because they said that he had disturbed navigable waterway because there were some depressions in the ground that could have held rainfall. And I'm like, wait a minute. You can't float a boat in that. What are you talking about? It doesn't connect to a creek or a stream or anything else. And they said, if it's water pooled on the ground, we consider it navigable, and that's under our purview. And I'm like, well, how much water does it have to be? And they said, it could be very small. So I licked my finger and I held it out. I go, are you in charge of that? The lady, she didn't find me funny.
Which finger was it?
I've got two friends, and you're the tall one in between.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's like, what the heck?
Where can we find that definition? Because I would,
let's put it on here.
I would love to post that.
Is that a federal
or what?
Well, yes, it is federal. What I'll do is I'll just zip you this little short that I just did today.
Nice.
That I sent to our Attorney General and to our Farm Bureau. My husband just left now with a stack of them to take to a Farm Bureau meeting. But respective of the term navigable and WOTUS, please know that under statute, the EPA or Army Corps of Engineers do not have authority over waterways in Colorado. Army Corps builds structures, dams, bridges, etc., but does not have regulatory authority over water. Federal jurisdiction only applies to navigable waters of the U.S. So if the South Platte is non-navigable, then there is no federal jurisdiction in the first place. Now, here I'm going to read you two really key sentences that you can take to the bank, Bill. Even if the South Platte was navigable, then Title 33, USCA Chapter 26, I'm not going to read all that, says, except as expressly provided in this chapter, nothing in this chapter shall be construed as impairing or in any manner affecting any right or jurisdiction of the states with respect to the waters, including boundary waters of such states. What is exempt from Army Corps and EPA? All navigable waters of the United States as defined in the judicial decisions. Here's the big key, guys.
Yeah, this is what I want.
Judicial decisions prior to the passage of the 1972 amendments. Bingo! Now, with your farmer friend, the wheat farmer, here's something really critical to remember. Statutory permit exemptions make it clear that even if there were navigable waters in Colorado or California or any state in the West, Congress intended to exclude agricultural activities.
Well, there was a bill that amendment our congressman did that said that the Army Corps was not allowed to regulate farming. It was part of a budget deal, and it literally lined them out. They weren't allowed to regulate farming.
That's correct.
And so it was still on their website, and I remember people from the office called and said, hey, how come it's still on your website? You can't regulate farming. That bill went through, and they said, oh, that's not how we read it.
And just 2 weeks ago, because there was a fella with one of the towns here in Colorado who kept saying at meetings that the Army Corps controlled the water, and he and my husband would have these go-arounds. So finally we had do you know Dr. Angus McIntosh?
I guess we don't know anybody. We're totally out of the loop. I don't know what we've been doing. We don't know anyone. What's happening
well,
here?
Dr. McIntosh is very quiet, very, very low-key person, but he's probably one of the most brilliant individuals in the U.S. when it comes to policy and statutes. He has his master's in water adjudication and his doctorate in ag economics, and he understands this to the finite. He's one of those individuals who sits in law libraries, and he can reel off case law and statutes like you wouldn't believe, and is very unique to such extent. Bill and Aaron, we wanted to give one of his ranches in Wyoming to CSU to develop a policy research department because no one knows these things.
Exactly.
So they're making really bad policy based on that.
Well, they're getting away with all sorts of stuff. So we have like a minute left in this hour. We've got you hostage for the second hour, so we have tons of stuff still to do. But I wanted people to not miss out if they can't stick with us for the second hour. The no trespassing signs, they say, no trespassing. Trespassers will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. No immunity for criminal trespass by government parties. You can get a metal sign that's 12 by 18 for $26. You can get 3x4 stickers, a dozen of them, $2 each. And head to landandwaterusa.com or check on wethepeopleradio.us. It's right there on our page. We will be back in a couple short minutes with Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA. Well, Welcome back to We the People Radio. Good afternoon. And I feel like that disclaimer every time I hear it, it's like, well, they might agree with us.
Makes it
sound like we got them at gunpoint in the back of the room.
It's like, what are they going to say?
They don't agree. They might not agree. They might want to distance themselves
from
these
two are knuckleheads. We're not going with anything on their
brutal.
Say, so.
God. All righty. So
the people in Philadelphia have no idea what we're talking about.
I know. They're
about.
Like, what?
We don't need disclaimers in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, we don't? They don't hear that?
No, they don't hear that. That's just a KCNR thing.
No, they just
We should play it. We should play it for them one time just so they hear it. It's just like the opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only. I think I could actually kind of almost recite it. And it makes it sound like we're going to do something bad. Makes it sound like we're on cable. We're not. So today we're talking about water with Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA. And although it's not, I don't know, it's got to be an issue in the East. It's mostly anywhere that's a rural area. The joke is, it's not really a joke. The statement is always whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. And it seems that as we march along in history here, more fighting. Lots more fighting. You know, you kind of thought that was all over with back in the Wild West. No, actually, we're right at it. So, doing some discussion of navigable waters. And for those of you that don't really follow some of those issues, you really should, because your representatives are making laws and rules. We're going to be electing a president next year. And hopefully people all go and vote and don't pick a knucklehead. At this point, you know, just don't pick a communist.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, it's wide open. But I did add this on the website, which is wethepeopleradio.us, and it's the Sixth Circuit Court puts a controversial waters of the United States, and you'll see it in all sorts of articles as WOTUS, so like POTUS and all that. So the WOTUS rule is on hold. So on the 9th of October, U.S. Court of Appeals issued a nationwide stay against the enforcement of regulation issued by the EPA, our friends at the EPA, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, BOO, defining the scope of waters of the United States subject to federal regulatory jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act. They're always trying to, like, worm their way in to be in charge of everything. So if you have property and they strip away your water rights, your property is virtually unusable and worthless. So we can't allow these agencies and faceless bureaucrats to suck away all of our water rights. So at the end of the last hour, you were going to give us the definition of navigable waterways. Because according to the Army Corps these days, you know, if you can float a rubber duck in it, it's theirs.
It's theirs. So you were going to tell us where we could look that up.
The term navigable waters of the United States means navigable waters as defined in Section 502 parens 7 of the Federal Water Pollution Control Act,
okay.
FWPCA, also known as the Clean Water Act and the tributaries of such waters and so forth. And if a person really study, it goes back to maritime, et cetera, the reason why the Army Corps came into being in, what, the 1700s for George Washington's army to build bridges and so forth and so on. And its main purpose is to remove obstructions, sediments, obstructions, et cetera, for passageway of commerce. So, you know, it's really a glaring disingenuous thing when they instead, for example, build obstructions on the Missouri River.
Okay, but does that include, I noticed one part of that said any tributaries. Did it say
no,
tributaries?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have read that part because that is just, it refers to interstate, and that's the whole thing, is that you have to remember the simple definition of navigable as pertains to statute, is that you have to be able to move at a minimum a 13-ton barge down the waterway across a state line for the purpose of interstate Commerce.
Now, is there a do the states have their own navigable waterway laws, or is that strictly a federal thing?
It's strictly federal, and there are no navigable waterways. There's a little teeny tiny itty bitty sliver that comes inland, and I forget exactly where it is. You guys would know. It's on the west coast there. There's two of them, but the distance is extremely short.
Well, we have the delta that comes in out of San Francisco Bay, and then I think up in Washington, the Columbia River, I think.
That could be correct.
That's a big one.
That could be correct, but as far as
go
I know,
Captain
the
Bill.
Columbia, huh?
I said, you go see Captain Bill.
Yo-ho-ho,
Bill.
A bottle of
He's
rum.
He's got his little hat and everything.
Yeah, no kidding. Going to get him in those short pants here any day now.
don't give me that visual.
Sorry, we've gone somewhere bad.
But that's the thing that people have to absolutely remember. You had the EPA in there several years ago that just outright lied. I mean, they pulled an extremely misleading stunt with Governor Sandoval Brown and why am I blanking?
Schwarzenegger?
I'm sorry?
Was it Schwarzenegger?
No. It was Jerry Brown, Governor Sandoval from Nevada, and I hit a blank. There were three, or maybe there was just two governors and maybe Dianne Feinstein or something.
It sounds like the beginning of a really good joke.
Whatever. My memory is blurry. But he was trying to get California and Nevada to conjoin in some kind of a weird control over Lake Tahoe that would have sent a horrible ripple effect on the waters. And he did it with sediment, and it was a complete and total lie. And
big
why
shock.
Those EPA people aren't thrown in jail? I mean, look at what Gina McCarthy did to the Animas River in Colorado.
Yeah, you mean the new Orange River?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what that caused?
Yeah, where they had the big chemical spill.
Oh, yes.
The irrigators and stuff. I mean, I have friends who farm and ranch along the Animas, and the horror stories that they've told about what they had to do to try to be proactive to protect their livestock and their property and everything, and they're like, oh, okay, and yet they turn around and they fine, make life hell for a person in Wyoming who did everything absolutely perfectly by Wyoming state regulations, permits and everything, so that he could build a clean pond to act as a filter and so forth and get more beneficial use for his own private property. This wasn't even on federal land. It wasn't private property on federal land. They used Google Earth, zeroed in on him, and made his life an absolute hell. Told him he was destroying a wetlands and so forth and so on. Well, fortunately, Harriet Hageman, the attorney for the defendant, for the landowner, won that case. And that was a big win. But nonetheless, they made his life hell. Now think about it this way. Livestock, allotment owners, mining, etc. on federal lands, because federal lands are split estates, are encumbrances. Now the Federal Reserve is a private lending institution.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want encumbered collateralization. They want those unencumbered. And so that's why the big push to get everybody off of federal land.
That does make sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you real quick.
World.
Under agriculture, does that include cattle?
Now, what? I'm sorry, Bill. What was your
with that one definition where the water was for agriculture?
Is that ranching and farming?
Does that include cattle or ranching? Cattle ranching?
Yes. Agriculture is agriculture, and livestock and everything
falls
under all of that.
Okay.
The environmentalists hate it, it's agriculture.
Yeah, they get grant money and go throw rocks at cows.
But try to do that with anything else, and it's called abuse. We have to take a really swift break here, and we'll be right back. We're chatting with Ronnie Bell Sylvester, the founder and volunteer editor of Land and Water USA. And as usual, we're bashing the government. So come on back. We'll have a good time. It'll kind of make you mad, but we'll have fun while we're doing it. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies, twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Welcome back to We the People. Okay, what is that?
That's fairly new music from Justin Timberlake, Cry Me a River. Not the old standard, but it's a new Cry Me a
River. A new Cry Me a River.
A new Cry Me a River.
If you can redo Cry Me a River, I guess you can just... I guess it never ends. Oh, my gosh.
We're incredibly hip.
We are. We're very cool now, all of a sudden. So cool, we don't even know who it is.
You even played The Art of Noise earlier.
It's like, so who's that? Oh, my gosh. I realized on my little note sheet here, Ronnie, I had forgotten to close the loop on that Noah thing that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so these people are cattle ranchers up in Siskiyou County, and their head gate for their diversion and where their diversion goes is way off their property. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the water travels in a creek that goes dry. In the summer, it just goes dry. They've got a lot of rock up there, and the water usually travels underground, and so you don't have fish in it year-round. It just doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, as it's going dry, right, you get these little pools, and you have fish stuck in the little pools. Well, typically, the birds will eat them, because there's, you know, no pun intended, they're like sitting ducks.
Sure.
So, you know, they're just stuck in there, so it's just going to be less and less water. And so they're little snack fish, you know, goldfish size. So they're considered, threatened. The coho salmon are a threatened species, although we can buy them at Costco. But they're threatened there, apparently. And if they're goldfish size, they are, I think it was like $25,000 a fish. And there were 15 of them. That supposedly died in this little ditch out in the woods.
And didn't they say that was navigable?
Well, Noah showed up, and now they're the big enforcer. So these poor people have been fighting this for, it's been several years now. And the latest on that particular case is that they were supposed to go to court. It was going to be a 2-month trial up in Oregon on these 15 dead goldfish. And, they wanted him to pay. Wanted to pay him fine. They had to admit guilt, and guilt was that they killed him on purpose. They killed an endangered species on purpose, and they said, "No, we're not doing it." All right, fine. You have to go to this trial. It's 2 months long. Well, now you know this is kind of where the wheels come off. The trial was with a NOAA court and a NOAA judge. So the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration was going to be the judge, jury, and executioner, and they were supposed to pay an attorney to fight that out for 2 months, like they were going to win.
Mm. Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make that up. Part of it, I think...
It's like the Hammonds, the father and son, who are in jail right now in Oregon, and there was... I mean, that was a really gross overreach.
Tell people about that, because I'm sure some of our folks back east may not know that.
Well, the Hammonds, first of all, they were allotment owners on the federal land where the burn took place. So they owned that forage that burned on that federal land. So they're in jail for burning their own forage.
So for folks who don't understand that, if it's federal land, what was it, Forest Service or BLM was managing? Who was managing?
It makes no difference. The Forest Service is under the United States Department of Agriculture, the USDA.
Right.
And the BLM is under the Department of Interior, the DOI. So you have already there a conflict, two different agencies that you have to deal with right there if you are an allotment owner on federal land. Clive and Bundy, I mean, he was called a domestic terrorist by Harry Reid for running cattle on his own vested property on federal land.
Yeah.
And the
you don't want to run into him in the dark, that's for sure.
It's all about, you just stay away from those exercise bands and you'll be a lot safer. They're super dangerous.
Yeah,
they'll knock an eye out.
Well, what Patty Murray's people in Oregon are doing is just criminal. And nobody's calling them on it because... And the saddest reason, Aaron and Bill, that really is, that grieves us, is they don't argue, attorneys don't understand enough about statutes to argue these cases correctly. They don't present the correct argument. And they start off on the wrong foot right out of the chute by referring to the federal land as public land.
Mm. Okay, so explain, give us a little what they're doing and what they should be doing, like for, us non-lawyers.
Well, first of all, they need to use the statutes to protect allotment owners who have vested property on federal land, and they should do everything possible to keep it at the lowest civil court level. And not take it, once you get into federal court, it's game over. I mean, look at how many years they harassed, the Wayne Hage family.
Right. Oh my gosh, 30 something years?
Yeah,
well,
you don't have the time or the money
right
to
hand,
fight the federal government. I mean, they'll just outweigh you.
Yeah, and I mean, that case was so extreme that Judge, I can't remember his name. He actually told the Forest Service and the BLM agents that they should consider hiring individual criminal attorneys for their actions, which brings me to a solution.
Oh, no. So
yeah.
Early, so early in the game.
I have solutions.
We're not even in the last 2 minutes.
Oh.
That's usually what happens.
When would you like to have that brought in?
No, we're all good. It's just funny. It seems that it could be...
We're teasing this for the last segment.
It seems like we always have 1 minute left, and they go, oh, I have an idea. It's like, oh, well, okay, bye.
Well, it starts with the no trespassing sign. You post that no trespassing sign. You make sure you put the stickers on your electrical meters so they don't try to slip a smart meter in there. And then when they do come on your property, you have them, everybody, sign a private property admittance agreement. That's extremely important.
And you have right, on your site?
Mm-hmm. We have everyone who wants to access our farm or ranches must sign a private property admittance
agreement. And will they typically do that, though? I mean, if they're an employee of PG&E or municipality, and you say, hey, if you want to come on my property, you have to sign this.
That takes us to the public servants questionnaire. And then, of course, if you have an easement across your property for public utilities, those people do have the right, and also ditch riders. But like on a ditch rider, only the named ditch rider can come on to your property as the ditch goes through your property. So there are those exceptions, of course.
Okay, so define ditch rider for folks.
Oh, I'm sorry. When people have irrigation ditches, they are corporations, and they have to hire a superintendent who actually goes out and manages the head gate, the amount of water that's let out, and when there's a call in the river, and when they have to manage that water within that ditch.
And this is all gravity surface water. So this isn't, this isn't a well. This is not that kind of thing. This is water that would be flowing across the ground. That gets diverted. Legal diversion that
yes.
People have a certain amount that
yes.
they get to divert and use it for their beneficial use on their property.
Each person gets their allotment quantity. They call it consumptive use, which that's sort of interesting to me because I think there's a margin that's played there amongst the water runners, where they try to buy it for the consumptive use amount when, in fact, there's an allotment quantity, which is always more than the consumptive use. And I think they really play those margins.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's a whole different story.
Now, tell us about this form that they have to sign. What does that say?
Okay, now the public servants questionnaire, it is under the Privacy Act of 1974. And what it does is that, I love this, I love the language that's at the top of it. It just simply says, U.S. Code 552A, blah, blah, authorizes a sovereign natural person citizen to use this form to collect information from the public servant to determine whether to divulge information to the public servant and employing agency. Public law 9 states, the purpose of this act is to provide certain safeguards for an individual against invasion of personal privacy requiring federal agencies to permit an individual to determine what records pertaining to him are collected, maintained, and or disseminated by such agencies. And so we ask when whomever comes to the door, are you a public servant or are you a government employee? If they say yes, we give them the public servants questionnaire.
Now, is it only federal or is it any public employee?
I think it's any public servant, because I just kind of went over this today. I do need a little more clarification on this, because it's my understanding that city employees, townships, municipalities, county, state are all public servants. But I do need clarification on that, and I will look into that more, because that is a good question, the same one I had today.
And then what questions are on that?
We have to do that in the next segment.
Have to give their full name, and then they have to they're asked, will you uphold the Constitution of the United States? And this is an actual form. This isn't a made-up thing. This is the actual form that you can pull off of forms under that particular statute, the Privacy Act and that statute.
Right.
Can you shoot me a link to that, and I'll include it on the website?
Okay. Okay, sure.
My computer is dead. Otherwise, I'd look it up right now and do it.
Yeah, sure. No, it's a really good thing to have.
Annoying.
We've had county employees who have come to eradicate noxious weeds. They've had to sign it. We had Fish and Game came. We asked them to sign it. They've never seen it before, and they take a deep swallow and they look at it and it's like, what? But
they sign it. They did?
Oh, yeah.
Well, either that or they've got to go back home and explain why they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Yes, that's
correct. Which is kind of nice.
Now, the no trespassing sign, that has already proven out in two little tiny situations to work. A person was absent from their home. They were adding a deck onto their home that had already passed the inspections and the original blueprints, but they were called to war, and they had to go over to Iraq, and so there was a time lapse between then and when they came back to complete the deck, and the inspector came around and slapped a notice on his door that he didn't have an inspection on that deck. And so he went down to the building inspector's office and explained to them that he was trespassing. Did you not see the trespassing sign posted there? Well, yeah, but that doesn't apply to us. He said, did you not see the last line on the sign?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but that still doesn't apply to us. And he said, yes, it did. And it turned out really good because then this person actually went back to that county and gave them an educational seminar to the inspectors on what constituted trespass. So that worked out really positive.
So the part about no immunity for criminal trespass by
exactly.
government parties was the part they just looked right past.
Okay.
Right. Absolutely.
We need to take
teeth,
a real quick
and then,
we need to take a real quick break because I want to get into this a little bit more.
Okay.
2 minutes?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Oh, this is a fun song. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm going to tell you about my town. I'm going to tell you a big fat story, baby. It's all about my town. Yeah, down by the river. Down by the banks of the River Charles. That's what's happening, baby.
I guess the biggest mistake of their lives is to ignore the no trespassing sign. So we're here with...
That's true.
I know. We're here with Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA. And so we've got this listed on our website, and you have... It links directly to Land and Water USA, where they can get the metal sign. It's 12 by 18, and it has, like, the little holes, you know, so you can hook it on a fence. And they're $26 each. That's with shipping. Oh, yeah, shipping included.
Shipping included.
And then you have a 3x4 sticker that's you can get a dozen of them for $2 each. And that would be super handy for, like, your electric meter, so they don't come at you with the smart meters. But even if you live in a neighborhood, you don't want somebody traipsing around in your backyard. You know, oh, we thought we saw or...
Well, I think if you have it posted, especially...
I mean, I think sometimes people think about, you know, you're way out in the middle of nowhere and you have, like, the no hunting sign or whatever. Well, you could be in town and still have these problems.
Sure. So. I mean, you have the right to keep people off your private property. And I think if you have it posted and they come on, now they're automatically right there. They violated your rights.
Yeah. What's the deal, Ronnie?
Your private property rights.
If you don't... Obviously, you guys did this on purpose, you know, made these signs and you put what you put... no trespassing. Trespassers will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. No immunity for criminal trespass by government parties. And I would imagine that turns a lot of people around.
It does. And you talk about cities, residential areas. Yes, because there seems to be, and I wasn't aware of this until recently, there seems to be a growing problem with cable companies thinking that they're public utilities and tromping across people's private property to get access or lay cable for somebody else's television. And this was brought to my attention, and the people were so angry because the cable guy insisted that he had a right to be there that they immediately got one of those signs and put it up and took a photograph of it and posted it on Facebook.
Nice. Well, you know, because the one I'm thinking about, what happens a lot, because we have all this, and I'm not telling you anything, but because you're in Colorado, but this marijuana thing is just a nightmare. And so you have all these dope growers all over the place, and they have, you know, maybe 2 acres or, you know, not huge amounts of land, but you have some ground, right? And this happened to some folks that, I know. They had 5 acres, and they bordered somebody else. And so as the enforcement agency, I don't know if it was the sheriff or whatever, but as they're scurrying through to go bust these dope growers, they take the people from the building department that are code enforcement with them. Because if they can't get them, because you have the legal pot growing thing, so if you can't bust them on how much they're growing, they were going after them for code violation. So as they ran through these people's property to access the other property, they noticed, hey, wait a minute, they closed in that carport. Well, I don't remember seeing a permit. So building inspector guy makes a little mental note, runs back to the county office, and goes, oh, they never filed a permit for that. Well, no one would have ever known about it because it was way the heck off the road. They should not have been down there. And I'm thinking, like, a sign like this could have maybe stopped.
Well,
those guys just went around and around.
Yeah, I would think if they went around that sign and made their observation after they trespassed, I'm not sure that's...
Yeah, what's your...
You can hold that up in court, can you?
What's your recourse? So let's say that happened and they had the sign there, but they ran through anyway and then tried to fine them.
Well, it does have teeth. And it's something that you can take directly to your sheriff with proof of evidence and keep it on the lowest civil level and just simply have them arrested.
Hmm. How much fun would that be?
That would be fun. It'd
be super fun.
Yeah.
These folks, they just, oh my gosh, it turned into like World War III.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
They had these.
That really is unfortunate. But that's what's so good about this. This sign, because it does have teeth, the wording is very specific, and each word has a reason and a purpose. And so it does have teeth, and you always want to keep those things at the lowest civil court in your county level.
Right, so it doesn't turn into, you know, like Noah court with the Noah judge, which obviously is going to get you nowhere. Well, you know, with these folks, I guess I can, you know, I can always hear our naysayers in the back of my head, you know, well, you're advocating people break the law and just hide it, and that way they don't get caught.
What?
That's what I'm thinking they're thinking I'm saying, and okay, so what if I'm saying that? if they want to add onto their carport, I mean, nuts to them, but in this one, they actually filed on these folks that they were a public nuisance. So they're pretty funny, actually, this guy and his wife. And so they had T-shirts made because the man was the husband was the guy who got the thing that said he was a public nuisance. So she has some T-shirts made when they had to go to court. And so he's wearing a T-shirt that says, I'm a Shasta County public nuisance. She had another one made, I'm with the Shasta County public nuisance. And so these guys marched into court.
We actually had no trespassing T-shirts made, but they're completely gone. And I hope I had that removed from the website.
No, they're still on there. And you know,
I need to have that. But it was pretty hilarious.
I was going to ask you, how does that work?
Yeah,
no trespass by government
parties.
Because
people wanted to wear them through
TSA.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, actually. I'm like, those shirts would be
great. Maybe it was your suggestion.
I don't know. But
maybe you were the one that came up with that.
I looked at it, and I was like, oh, that's a TSA shirt right there.
Yeah, you're the one that started it.
That's
okay,
just fun and games.
Why does that not surprise me?
It's just fun and games at the airport right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, I don't think people realize it's very much like... I mean, I guess it's a very different example, but it's the same idea. You know, the Patriot Act. You know, we have a huge crisis, and then here's the Patriot Act. Oh, that's good. It'll keep everybody safe. And now we see what it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, we forfeited a ton of our freedom and our Fourth Amendment rights for, you know, quote-unquote safety and security. Well, I don't know. Who was it? Benjamin Franklin said those who would bargain, you know, one for the other get neither. Mm-hmm. And... I think that's kind of where we are. So I think sometimes people who live in non-rural settings don't realize their rights are being violated by a lot of this, that this trespass counts for them too.
That it does, and it's an excellent, that's an excellent application to that, because if you're going to shut down agriculture, then you are impacting that urban person who kind of likes to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, even the environmentalists have to eat. I never can figure out what they think they're going to eat after they drive all the farmers out, but, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, that's a whole different subject, too. But,
yeah, we hit that one pretty regularly. It's one of our favorites.
My brother always wanted to pick them up by their braids and whip them around in a circle and let go of them.
I think he's onto something there. Don't they have midget tossing? Maybe we could have environmentalists spinning, huh?
I don't know, but that's why
Did
I like
say
the
midget
rock.
Tossing.
You said midget tossing.
Oh, you're in big trouble now.
Oh man,
go ahead, Bob.
Phones find are going to start ringing.
Find a song for that. Well, hey, speaking of bad people who. I don't know if she's a midget or not, but if she's a bad person. On our website, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you'll see along the top bar, I have a tab called Dr. Kate. And this is a woman that people should really become familiar with. She is.
Is that Vander,
yes,
Vander,
yes.
Moore something?
Kate Vandermore.
Yes.
And
okay.
She is quite the operative. I got a treasure trove of information from a source who asked me if I would be willing to post it and said,
interesting.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Because I just got, just last week, some information and a phone call in respect to that person. And
well, what she's doing is sidling up. She has a long history with NOAA and Bureau of Indian Affairs and all this, but she is going into communities like up in Montana.
She's a hydrologist, right?
I don't know if she is a hydrologist or if she just plays one on TV. I'm not sure exactly what her biography's on there, and I feel like I'm hamstrung. My computer's dead, so I can't look it up, but okay. it's right there on the site. Gives her biography, and this lady is a real, she's tricky. She's got those irrigators up there in Montana convinced that she's actually helping them.
That's kind of the info I got.
Yep, and so unfortunately they're listening to her, and they're going to lose their shorts if they're not not careful. Speaking of shorts, we have to take a little break. Okay, it didn't have anything to do with shorts, but yeah, I couldn't help it.
Actually,
really,
it does.
A really quick break. We'll be right back.
You
short
to find
people.
Song.
Yes! It's my midget tossing song.
Randy Newman.
We'll be right back. We'll be inappropriately right back.
Short people got no reason. Short
couldn't resist. That song, who knew? Even John Denver didn't know it was all going that way, did he?
Single panel.
Good.
Okay,
cool.
Picture. One cowboy's on his horse on the ground. The other cowboy's on his horse up in the air. And the caption reads, What kind of grass are you feeding him?
Yeah, I bet the jokes in Colorado have changed a lot. Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's brutal. I remember when I was in college, I went to school over at Humboldt State where there was a tremendous amount of pot growing, and I think always has been since the beginning of time. And I remember I worked in an Olympic club. I taught powerlifting, and a guy that I worked with, his grandparents were going to jail. I was like, what? Your grandparents are going? I mean, I didn't even know anybody who had ever gone to jail. I'd never even been to a jail. Your grandparents are going to jail. What did they do? They were dope growers. It's like, oh, man, we're not in Connecticut anymore, are we? Yeah, very weird. That was a rude awakening for a nice girl from Catholic school in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Hey, so I looked up on Bill's computer here the Kate Vandermore thing. She is a highly trained hydrologist, so points to you. You remembered that part. Previously served as a special assistant to the former assistant secretary of the U.S. Department of the Interior and the director of its Bureau of Indian Affairs. So,
oh, wait a minute. Back up. Now, yes. What was that about the Department of Interior? Who?
It was Ada Deer, the former assistant secretary.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
She was
under
assistant.
Ken Salazar?
Yeah. Yep. It was under Babbitt.
Babbitt. Oh, way back then.
Yes. Yeah,
known
for her significant reorganization of the Bureau of Indian Affairs under Clinton Babbitt. She was the special assistant to Mrs. Deer during that period of time.
Okay, yes, okay.
So this lady's been into all sorts of stuff. So we're anticipating that she's going to pop up in the Klamath situation out here on the Oregon and California border. So,
you mean with the fake endangered species that was actually brought there as a food source in 91 or something?
Well, yes, and then, you know, not to be outdone, we have the short-nosed suckerfish that nobody cared about that's very much like the Delta smelt, you know, kind of a worthless fish that now is some ceremonial holy grail something or other, so you got to have those. And, you know.
And they were never there to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know. You gotta,
that's right.
They're
that's
super,
exactly correct.
Super fabulous. So you got to have them. And so they've, you know, they've got everything upside down, want to take out the hydro dams up there. And we've done quite a few shows on that. Mm-hmm. We're looking at those agreements, those Klamath Basin restoration agreements, just a little update for our audience. Those blow up at the end of the year. So if Congress doesn't act, and I have it on fairly decent authority that it's going to be pretty hard to budge them, on this particular thing, then those agreements should blow up because
expire.
I think the tribes are going to bail out. So once the tribes leave,
oh really?
Yeah. So everybody says, oh, it's a. I just read an article today. It was unbelievable. It's an amazing feat that they got all these groups together to agree. It's like nobody agreed, and nobody compromised. Everybody just got screwed. So
well, that's where that word. Consensus has become
one of my least favorite dirty words
in our world, because consensus is vastly different from a counted show of hands.
And it's not even like everybody's getting something out of the deal. Really, nobody gets anything. There's no guarantee of water up there. It's just a bad deal. But then they lose the hydro dams. So Dr. Kate is a prominent figure in this whole thing of utilizing tribes to take over water and property rights.
That's really interesting. I wonder how many other connections there are, because my first knowledge of her was, of course, again last week late, and I have not had time to research her at all.
You don't have to. You can just go on there and. Seriously, it took me forever to get all this stuff on the website and then to try to get it in some kind of order and then link it to itself and all of that. It's really comprehensive. And the person who sent it to me is...
thank you for doing all that.
An expert. It was easy for me. I mean, it's all right there. But I'm looking for someone... I really want to do a program about it because, honestly, unless you're a lawyer or you've been involved in this stuff, you're not going to read all that. So... It was important to kind of out this lady and her connections, because that's how landowners and and other people who work for a living. Imagine that. People who actually work and don't just scam the government all day long. Mm-hmm. They wind up being taken advantage of because these folks are experts. They know they're up against the big machinery of government. It's going to cost them a lot of money. And someone comes in and says, hey, I have expertise and I'll donate my time to you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's all done, but the curling ribbon, and pretty soon, boop, you're in a little package and off you go.
Yep, you're part of that unencumbered collateralization.
Oh, yes, that.
They just removed you because you were an encumbrance.
Yep, and now, gee whiz, look, they got it all to themselves. It's fantastic.
Well, what we just started today, I just fired it off to one of our state senators today, and I will put one in each mailbox when I go to the Capitol on Monday, is an equal standing bill. And it is an equal protection from personal attack, parens malicious deprivation of constitutional rights, act by federal employee. We need to have this, Bill and Aaron. We really need to have this because that they are using federal employees as their frontline army.
Yes.
While they're doing all their little stinky stuff in the background.
Well, and people get really upset, you know, I take a lot of phone calls, that, you know, Congress isn't doing its job. And, you know, I gotta keep pointing out to people the agencies are part of the executive branch. And all these people that make regulation, they're supposed to be using the law to make regulation. But at the end of the day, if your chief executive officer, whether it's the governor or the president, doesn't rein in their agencies, we get mowed down.
Well, we do, because we don't understand that we have rights. We don't understand that we do have rights. And what we're doing is allowing them to, first of all, trespass. And the minute you allow them to trespass, you've allowed them to get you a little bit pregnant. And then you're facing the decision as to whether or not to abort or go full term with this baby. And it's just plug ugly. And so my position is, don't let them on your property in the first place.
Yeah. Just say no.
Yeah, just say no. Exactly.
We need to get that old DARE slogan out. Just say no.
Yeah, really. People have to learn that no one can access their property without their permission unless they have, again, those extenuating circumstances of a warrant or, you know, like the Boston bomber, they saw him actually crossing people's property and hiding on people's property, and it was so noted, and so they were able to, law enforcement was able to go there. And another thing that people need to remember is that unless your county sheriff has deputized those federal agents, they have no police authority over you at all.
That's true. It's not federal land.
Exactly.
Well, there's a reason that we joke about, you know, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help, you know. They're not and they won't, so don't
well,
let me.
Well, and real even on federal land, though, too, even on federal land, unless the county sheriff deputizes the BLM or the Forest Service person, they have no authority over you. They cannot come in with packing iron and exercise police powers over you at all. People don't know that.
No, they don't. They're not law enforcement.
And it's important. So get the show out to folks. We'll have it archived for you. And we'll actually have a commercial-free version on there so you can send it to your friends. And Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA, thanks a million for coming on with us.
Thank you so much for coming on. Great show.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to help educate people. I'm still a student, too.
Thanks a million. And if you shoot us those links, we'll put them on the website.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Bill.
You bet.
WeThePeopleRadio.us. Talk to you guys next week.
America, to your night.